Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. My favorite show each year is the Easter show, because it's about the resurrection. Specifically, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what does this have to do with medicine? What does this have to do with being a doctor? What does this have to do with you and being sick? Well, across 25 years, my own personal experience, living closely, receiving much from those who have been afflicted. I mean, doctors that care share suffering. There's no way around that. I think we, as doctors, do a lot to get around that. But nonetheless, you have to share suffering because you have to have relationship. What better demonstration of the power within us than the Jesus story? And that's why Easter is so special to me. As a little boy, Christmas was great. But honestly, when I think back to it, it was always Easter and the resurrection and the suffering and the cross and fasting and Lent. That was magical to me. It was also that beautiful time of year on the East Coast as I grew up, because winter was fading and spring was coming, and that was a much better time of the year. So I grew up with this mystical notion of someone named Jesus Christ, who every Easter we celebrated his resurrection after the agony of the crucifixion. Little did I know, later on, years later, becoming a doctor and not looking to do this, but just by osmosis, working with person after person on so many levels as I've worked over the years, sharing the sufferings of my patients and realizing there's the life of Christ. Same concepts, and in that we are in his image, perhaps, without crossing boundaries, perhaps, God has given us those same abilities, those same potentials. At least that's what we aspire to. If you look at Christ as your hero, and I'm sure you do, and think of your own suffering, well, put it in the context of a doctor looking at his patients, watching them suffer, sharing that suffering, and watching a certain percentage of them get over their suffering through the act of faith and discipline, and then entertaining the bliss of curing disease. And that's been one of the great gifts in being a doctor. You have this exercise. It is a daily exercise. You live, eat, and sleep with it. From the day you say, "I can help you," is the day you begin to inherit the prospect of exercising these gifts. What gifts? Faith, when you utilize it, is a gift. The ability to adapt to your suffering as you succeed at it. There's a miracle there. And to watch a person heal, to watch the human organism mistakenly divorced from its spiritual core. And isn't that the crock of our time, right? Science's attempt to tell us, as Christians or otherwise, that your healing really has nothing to do with anything outside the boundary of strict science. We all know that. All religion, all spiritual people know Christian and otherwise. No, that is a joke. And we have to hold hands there. We have to give meaning to tomorrow in that way. Because we are under assault. There is no two ways about that. Increasingly, as genetics develops itself, as it should, and that should be celebrated also, are the foregone conclusions that the conversation we're having today has nothing to do with science. And yet it is the root of all of it. We've got it backwards, and I think we could all agree that we have a world that's upside down. And I'll submit to you that this is in part why. All right, forget all that. Let's talk about me and dissection. In chiropractic school, which was one of my many journeys in medicine, I was very attracted, because of certain mentors that I had, to dissection. And I spent a lot of time dissecting bodies. It was one of the great things about chiropractic school. Distinct from acupuncture school, distinct from naturopathic medicine, honestly distinct from medical school. You had, if you really wanted to take advantage of that education, you had to eat up dissection, which, of course, nobody really did. But I did. And the guy, Dr. Chavez, Francisco Chavez, I will give you his name, such a blessing in my life. He gave me the keys to the lab for 2 years. I could have slept there had I desired. So there I was, just me, alone in dissection, any day, any time I wanted. The maintenance guys and I became good friends, and if I wanted to stay till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was allowed to. And I did. And I did lots more. So I really got to spend hundreds and hundreds of hours in dissection. Believe me, this made the school experience worthwhile. Because if you begin to dissect and you really get into dissection and you have a chance to sit and meditate with all these wonderful body parts I'm about to describe today, and you look at them as a totality, if you can't see God, if you cannot feel God in that experience, truly, truly, you need our prayers. All your power is so self-evident in these mystical pieces of the human body. And our chemistry, our biological studies today suggest that there are pieces of us that if we could just turn them on, switch them on, we could do things we never thought we could do. We could exceed ourselves. We could, by deliberate design, by systematic work, make our dreams come true. Now, if this is the way we were really taught to look at life, not in our fantasy of it, but just really in our daily vernacular. I've got cancer, so what? I'll deal with it. I'll get rid of it. I got fired from my job. It appears my profession is over. Nonsense. I'll manifest my next step. And yes, this concept of manifestation, turning your dreams to reality, this is very common in our consciousness today. I think not common enough in functional reality, but it's a common thought. What I want to give you today is this thought, this consciousness, is so evident in the structures of the human body. So let me invite you to the website. Hopefully you're on it. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, straight talk with two T's. If you're driving, just listen. Again, I'm going to do this half-hour show, and if you get to the website in an hour from now, I'll have a more comprehensive show. It'll go at least 60 minutes, because there's so much to talk about. I want to tempt you, virtuously tempt you, into enthusiasm about these concepts. Now, if you're on the website, that's straighttalk.cc. I'm just going to reel off a couple of body parts that if you really get into them, and we can't today, but we can at least touch on them and put them all together, you can see there's something really going on there. I assure you that Jesus had a God-like, I can't say God-like, I can say his capacities were of God, godly. His development into the hypothalamus, into the pituitary, into the autonomic nervous system, into the pineal gland, into the cerebrospinal fluid, into the dural tissues, were godly, were sophisticated beyond what we can understand. But then again, we've been given these same structures. And of course, oddly enough, what biology, what science is leading us to today is that if we really go into the functions of the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the pineal, if we go into the functions of the autonomic nervous system, of the dural tissue, of the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid, of what's going on in the marrow of the bone, the stem cells, and we put it together, yes, we can do things as a species, in the glory of God, hopefully, that are paranormal. Just as that resurrection occurred and was paranormal, we have our capabilities also. Now, perhaps we don't have that potential, but we have possibilities. Each of us has possibilities. And of course, that wonderful word faith, faith is just what bridged the gaps between knowing that you can and being Doubting Thomas. Yeah, Doubting Thomas. I put a wonderful picture, picture 20, on the website today. There's Caravaggio's Doubting Thomas. Thomas, one of the disciples, does not believe that Christ has risen. So there's Caravaggio's picture 20 on the website. There's Caravaggio's finger. Thomas's finger. Caravaggio was just so graphic. I mean, you look at that picture and it hurts you to look at it because he's sticking his finger right through the skin of Jesus, deep into his flesh, deep into his ribs, so that then he could be satisfied that, yes, Christ had risen. Well, that's what faith is. When you're sick, you have to have faith. You get up every day like Doubting Thomas, and you don't ever heal. The Doubting Thomases do not heal. And there's a difference between us all regarding our spiritual intelligence. Imagine that. Imagine going to school. Imagine applying to university and having your spiritual intelligence measured. Come on. I want to know if you can count. I want to know if you can do the math. I want to know if you can memorize the curriculum. Spiritual intelligence, what does that have to do with anything that you might need to succeed in life? Come on. Look at that. I mean, I say that obviously satirically, tongue in cheek, but that's the reality, isn't it? It is so unfortunate that our connection to God, our inherent ability, our spiritual IQ is relegated to church on Sunday. Of course, we Christians don't believe that, but again, how many of us in an adversarial moment can really put it to the test? When you find out you have a brain tumor and less than a year to live. And so many of the tragedies. This is when, God bless you, that spiritual intelligence meets its day. Could our spiritual intelligence be locked into our body parts, into our anatomy? Is there a translation? Is the power that Jesus Christ exuded locked into our anatomical parts? I tell you it is. I tell you it's what gives me my faith.
I look at him.